Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
All of the draft madness. Five quarterbacks go inside the top 15, but not exactly as we would have anticipated that they all might have. Where do we think they will end up having the most success, and how would we sort of break down in general the teams that they ended up with? That is where we are beginning this program, but we have got so much to do. Not one single guest booked for the NFL draft, as we will be powering through, breaking it all down for you, discussing all the drama, whether it is in the draft or whether it is outside the draft, as Aaron Rodgers and Tim Tebow both took turns on the NFL stage, even without being in Cleveland. But let me start here. I was so glad to see a crowd of people behind the desk, yelling, screaming, celebrating, doing what sports fans do, like we have seen for football games and big events surrounding sports for our entire lives. To see it back happening again, even before the draft started, just looking at all those people in Cleveland having such a fabulous time. Now, the NFL did an incredible job last year, taking us inside the draft picks rooms. I still thought it was interesting to watch, even with guys inside of the Cleveland facility with their families and everything else, able to hug Roger Goodell. The fans booing Roger Goodell all over again, even though I think by and large Roger Goodell the past year has done a pretty phenomenal job. All of it, to me, was a celebration of why the NFL is the most popular sport in America and why, frankly, there is not a close second right now. It was just so much fun to sit back and watch. But I got to be honest with you. How do things always seem to break in the Patriots' direction, even when they aren't cheating? Mac Jones is projected to go number 3 overall. He falls all the way to Bill Belichick and the Patriots at 15 without them having to do a single thing other than sit there and wait for him to fall into their laps. That is the first quarterback that Bill Belichick has ever taken in the first round in his NFL coaching career. And I feel like Mac Jones to the Patriots just feels right. Now, you got two Auburn guys already up in New England in Jarrett Stidham and also in Cam Newton. There's not going to be a rush necessarily on Mac Jones. In fact, I would think that Cam Newton will be the guy to start the year. But also, I would think that the Patriots, if Mac Jones develops like they would hope and expect that he would, I would think that there is a possibility that the Patriots could be able to move on from Cam Newton, maybe even trade him later in the season if there is a team that needs a veteran quarterback down the stretch, if the Patriots believe that Mac Jones is their guy, because remember, Cam's only under a one-year deal. But I thought the best way to start off our draft coverage here would be by dissecting the five quarterbacks in the first round, now that we know exactly where they ended up, and assessing how you would think about them if you had to buy stock in them right now. That is, if you right now were sitting around and you could buy stock in these five quarterbacks, I put up a poll question when the first four guys were gone, and I said, hey, what do you think about this situation? Who is going to be the most successful quarterback among the first four? And over 20,000 of you immediately voted last night during the NFL draft, and Trevor Lawrence dominated with 57% of the vote, 19% for Justin Fields, 15% for Trey Lance, and 9% for Zach Wilson. Now, that's partly a function, I think, of how well known these guys are. Trevor Lawrence, tremendous success at Clemson. Justin Fields, a lot of success at Ohio State. Most fans out there, unless you are a big college football fan, have never watched Trey Lance play at North Dakota State, and a lot of people did not watch Zach Wilson play at BYU. So a little bit of that is a name recognition factor at play, which is why I want to do now, I'm going to rank you 1 to 5, the order that I would buy stock in these 5 first-round quarterbacks that went inside the top 15 based on the team that drafted them and the likelihood that they are going to have success. And I'm going to start with the guy that I think is in the best situation and the most poised to have success, and I think it's Mac Jones. I really do think that the New England Patriots, with Josh McDaniels, with the fact that they have gone and gotten 2 really good, I think, big-time performing tight ends, spent a lot of money there. I believe that if you break down and think about going forward how exactly Mac Jones is going to fit in this offense, I think he is Brady-like, even down to if you saw him, even down to seeing him shirtless. I tweeted out a picture of Brady shirtless next to Mac Jones shirtless. This is a cerebral guy who's going to read the field well, who's going to make solid decisions, who I think can make plays in crunch time. I think the Patriots got the perfect quarterback for their system. In fact, I think if the Patriots had had the opportunity to, they would have drafted Mac Jones way higher. They got him at 15. He fell to them. I believe that Mac Jones, if I could buy stock in any quarterback that is now sent to a particular team, I think Mac Jones to the Patriots is the best fit. Second guy I would buy stock in. I would buy stock in Trey Lance to the 49ers. Why would I buy stock in Trey Lance to the 49ers? I think probably he's going to sit for a little while, maybe a year behind Jimmy Garoppolo. And by the way, you can say the same thing about Mac Jones. I don't think either one of these guys are going to be rushed into service. I think that can be very helpful. Even if you look at a guy who's as successful as Patrick Mahomes, I think it was very helpful for Patrick Mahomes to be able to come into the NFL and sit behind Alex Smith for a year before he came in and started to make the plays that he did and became the transcendent superstar that we have seen. So I think for both Mac Jones being able to sit back with the Patriots behind Cam Newton in theory, and also with Trey Lance of the 49ers to be able to sit back potentially behind Jimmy Garoppolo, I love what Trey Lance's overall athleticism allows him to do. He's only 20 years old. Kyle Shanahan has been an incredible boon for any quarterback that he has been able to work with. I think he has time to develop Trey Lance. I like the security blanket of Kittle. I like the ability to develop that we've seen with Debo Samuel. And I like the fact that the San Francisco 49er defense is so stacked, there's absolutely no rush to need to worry about what might end up happening in that first year for both of these guys, which is why if I had to buy stock right now, I would take Mac Jones to the Patriots first, and then I would take Trey Lance to the 49ers. How about in the third spot? In the third spot, I think you have to go Trevor Lawrence. And I know some of you out there are going to say, well, he's the overall number one pick, and everybody out there is focused on the fact that he projects as highly as any quarterback going all the way back to Andrew Luck. But remember, he's coming in Jacksonville with a head coach who has never coached in the NFL before in Urban Meyer. We don't know exactly how the offensive system will work. We also don't know how the head coach is going to translate. Maybe it's going to be great like Pete Carroll in Seattle, but there are an awful lot of coaches that have made the transition to the NFL and they found out that whatever motivational tactics they had that worked so well in college don't work with grown men. And you can look as recently as in the Florida program, look at what happened when Steve Spurrier decided to go to Washington. Everything fell apart, and Spurrier came back to college, and he was fine. He did really well at South Carolina, but that fit with the Washington football team, the Redskins, never really made any sense. And so that's not something that Trevor Lawrence can control. All he can control is his work ethic and his performance. But I don't think you can put him right now, given the Jacksonville situation, any better than 3. Plus, unlike the other two guys I said here, Mac Jones with the Patriots and Trey Lance with the 49ers, Trevor Lawrence is starting week one. He's coming in as the guy for the Jacksonville Jaguars going forward, and there's going to be a lot of pressure on him to basically justify this franchise, which has been so bad and so incredibly awful when it comes to the quarterbacks that they have taken in recent history. So I like Trevor Lawrence. I think he has incredible potential. I'm just not sure the situation in Jacksonville is as strong of a situation as what exists right now in New England and in San Francisco. What about in the fourth spot? I think you have to go with Justin Fields. The reason why I'm not sold on Justin Fields to the Bears is, yes, in theory, you still have an opportunity to have him sit back and not have to make an immediate impact, because remember, you've got Andy Dalton with the Bears, but I'm just not sold on the Bears' ability to ever find a quarterback who is going to be able to make a significant difference in terms of how things will go with the Chicago Bears. They seem to be totally cursed at the quarterback position, and I'm not really convinced that the Bears are ever going to be, I mean, think about it, like all the way back to Jim McMahon, the Bears have never been able to find a coach that makes a quarterback that makes a good sense with this team. And I'll be honest with you, I'm just not sold on Matt Nagy as a head coach. Now, the positive for Justin Fields is the Bears have a really, really good, in theory, defense, although it kind of disappeared last year. And this, in theory, gives him a little bit of time to grow into the role with Andy Dalton already there. Having said all that, I'm still a little bit nervous about how all of this is going to break out if I am Justin Fields and I am going to the Bears into that Matt Nagy offense, because I think it's possible Nagy gets fired if things don't go well in that first year, and then you're a young quarterback with a brand new coaching staff. There's not that same stability. And then this is really not about Zach Wilson. I'm not trying to take shots at Zach Wilson, but the Jets have been a totally broken franchise for a long time. Maybe Zach Wilson is going to come in and make a tremendous difference immediately. But right now, the Jets have been bad for so long. They have a losing culture. If you look in the AFC East, the Bills are ascendant. The Dolphins are on the comeback trail. And really, let's be honest, the Patriots still went 7-9, even though they had a lot of guys decide to opt out. And we know how good the combo of Belichick and Josh McDaniels has been over the years. So if I had to rank these guys in order, 1 to 5, I don't think it's a particularly difficult choice to make. I think Mac Jones to the Patriots, best possible setup. I think Trey Lance to the 49ers is the second best setup. Trevor Lawrence, this is again, if I were buying stock in these guys, Trevor Lawrence to the Jags is in the third best spot, and Justin Fields to the Bears in the fourth, and Zach Wilson to the Jets is the fifth most likely quarterback that I would buy stock in. Again, what I love about Mac Jones and Trey Lance in particular, and also to a certain extent, what's going on with Justin Fields, because we've got Andy Dalton there. All three of those guys don't have to start week one. They have the opportunity to sit back and not have to rush their way into anything. And so to me, that is a very positive situation to find yourself in. If you are Mac Jones, if you are Trey Lance, and you are Justin Fields, the pressure on you is significantly limited compared to what Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson are going to have to step into. And I think that makes a big difference. I really do. If you consider sometimes a quarterback can start too early, and it can mean that ultimately he is unable to ever rise to the level that he might have otherwise if he was able to come in at the right time. A year too early can destroy a young quarterback. You have to be careful about it, and that is how I would break down these five guys as we run through the quarterback position.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
We probably should have mentioned this as we were breaking down everything surrounding Aaron Rodgers. The Packers are saying 100% they are not going to trade him, which means we could be headed for a Deshaun Watson-like situation, minus all of the legal drama, which is, if you remember the discussion before the Deshaun Watson sexual assault cases started to stack up, the Texans seem to be adopting the proposition, we will not trade Deshaun Watson no matter what. And Deshaun Watson kept saying, okay, well, basically I'll sit out. That's the situation that Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers could find each other in. This could be a stalemate. This could be a quest to see who blinks first. And there's such a monster drop-off from the Packers going from Aaron Rodgers almost to anyone, but certainly to an unproven Jordan Love who is only in his second year. The difference there is the Packers are potentially contending for the NFC Championship, a Super Bowl run again with Aaron Rodgers. With Jordan Love, we legitimately have no idea what the reasonable expectations would be. And by the way, the 49ers have admitted that they inquired upon finding out that reportedly Aaron Rodgers may have demanded a trade, which is the smart move I think they should make, given the fact that the NFL MVP is available. In fact, John Lynch came out and basically said, yeah, when we heard, I'm reading from him, when the MVP of the league might be available, I didn't know that. I'm just reading the tea leaves like everybody else and saying, hold on, is something going on here? Yeah, we inquired, and it was a quick end to the conversation. It wasn't happening. So the 49ers were willing to put together a package to try to go get Aaron Rodgers and make an aggressive move in order to make that a reality, but the Packers shot it down. And I think right now, if you look at all of the available quarterback job openings right now, the only real team that makes sense to me on a one-year basis other than the Texans, which I kind of threw out there as a bit of a Hail Mary by the Texans. If I'm the Texans, I call the Green Bay Packers and I say, hey, Deshaun Watson for Aaron Rodgers, straight up, would you do it? I don't think there's any way the Green Bay Packers do it, because I don't think the Packers want to take the risk. I don't think they want to move on from Aaron Rodgers, first of all. I don't think they want to take the risk of what might happen with Deshaun Watson otherwise. But in an ordinary world, if Deshaun Watson were able to be traded and it was reliable, that'd be a heck of a move for the Packers. Now, I don't think Aaron Rodgers would go with it. Why would he want to go to the Texans and leave a good situation in Green Bay for a crappy situation in Houston? But that's at least a conversation that I would try to have if I were the Houston Texans, to see if there might be something there. Leaving that aside, because again, I think that's a Hail Mary from the Texans. Leaving that issue aside, I think the only team that it really makes sense for now for Aaron Rodgers to join is, straight up, I think, the Denver Broncos. Now, Danny G, you went back through the archives because this was sort of a slow-moving car accident, right? Like everybody is sort of sliding on the ice but not going very fast, and you're like, man, this does not look good. You went back and grabbed the audio from last year when Jordan Love was drafted, and I came on the show and I basically said, hey, this is the Packers declaring war on Aaron Rodgers. I haven't heard this. So obviously, we said it last year. Can you pop that in? Let's hear what it sounds like.
Yeah, I will. And really quick, so you understand how this clip begins. You're right. It was slow moving because the general consensus was, well, Jordan Love's going to have to sit the same way Rodgers sat behind Favre.
Yep.
And then a few days after the draft, Brett Favre came out on a radio show and made some comments about how it was disrespectful to Aaron Rodgers, and this was your reaction to Brett Favre.
I would do all I could to not burn that bridge, and I don't think that they did that. I think that they burned a bridge that it's going to be hard to overcome. At some point, I think it will rear its ugly head.
Good stuff there, Favre. I want to bring in the crew and see what they think about this. I think Aaron Rodgers has every reason to be furious at the Green Bay Packers. And to me, the Athletic reported this, But it's hard to believe that there's a great relationship between Brett Favre and the management of the Green Bay Packers at this point in time. And so you look at this right now, and to me, I mean, this is a mess, right? This is a real mess, and it seems like a declaration of war between Packer management, in particular new head coach Matt LaFleur, and Aaron Rodgers. Danny G, any other way to see this than the way I'm seeing it?
I don't think so. There were so many playmakers available in this draft, and I thought for sure the Packers would go for a wide receiver, somebody to help Aaron Rodgers. And also, they could have used some punch on their defense as well, but to go this route was definitely head-scratching. And for Jordan Love, I really was hoping that he would go to a team where he'd only need to sit for one season, similar to Mahomes.
Yeah.
Instead, this seems like a total waste of a rookie deal on Love.
I agree completely on that. And honestly, the only way to read this is that the Packers are interested in trading Aaron Rodgers. I think that is the only possible way you can read this where it makes any sense at all. Dub, am I insane for saying this is a declaration of war? And the only way that I can see it making sense is if they're planning on trading Aaron Rodgers?
No, I don't think you're crazy. And I think you just mentioned something that really speaks volumes to this whole situation. The Packers traded up to get Jordan Love. They only traded up four spots. I mean, they could have waited if they really wanted him to 30, because if another team really wanted him, like you just said, they would have already had him. He would have been off the board. So this, to me, was more of like a signal sent to Aaron Rodgers, hey, we're trading up to get this guy in the first round. Not only are we taking him in the first round, but we're going to trade up to get him. So to me, I don't see it any other way other than what you've just laid out between, you know, this declaration of war against Aaron Rodgers. And it doesn't make sense. Another reason is they just gave him a monstrous contract, Aaron Rodgers. And for them to go out and draft a quarterback in the first round, it really does not make a whole lot of sense to me.
Not only that, they were in the NFC Championship game. They were poised to be able to go to a second Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, which is hard to do, particularly for an aging quarterback, and give Aaron Rodgers a chance to potentially go out at the peak of his abilities, like we saw happen with John Elway, like we saw happen with Peyton Manning, to ride off into the sunset with that second Super Bowl that gives you forever an opportunity to further burnish your legacy. Now, fortunately for Aaron Rodgers, he's won at least one Super Bowl. Eddie, you're a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers still haven't really got a guy who makes sense after Ben Roethlisberger, and he's coming off of a severe injury. I mean, as a Steeler fan, if I'm sitting around and they had gone and gotten Jordan Love, I may not love it, but at least you could say, well, we can't roll with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges again if we end up with an injury, if Ben Roethlisberger doesn't come back 100% healthy. But it seems like Mike Tomlin and the Steelers weren't even willing to do that to Ben Roethlisberger, maybe because they didn't want to create that stir, and he's coming off of an injury. This is, to me, if you're Aaron Rodgers, an indefensible move by the Packers.
Well, yeah, I mean, for the things that have already been talked about, I mean, you have a team that is a contender in the NFC, and you're going to draft with your number one pick a player who is unlikely to help you this year or probably next year. I mean, maybe they get him on the field to do some Taysom Hill stuff, but still, how impactful is that going to be? They could have used that pick in a better way. Plus, take into consideration the personality of Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to just let this pass, I don't believe. This is going to be an issue all season long. They have chosen to make this a distraction as an organization. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it is absolutely insane. Roberto, are you with me? I mean, is it? Let me take a step back here and just get everybody's opinion. If I had told you before the drafting of Jordan Love, if I had come on and I had said, hey, guys, I think the Packers are putting Aaron Rodgers on the market as a free agent quarterback, not a free agent quarterback, but a tradable quarterback. Because of the draft, and they're going to go get a first-round quarterback, they are basically letting it be known to the entirety of the NFL, Aaron Rodgers is available for the right bidder. If I had said that to you, would you have thought I was crazy, Danny G?
Oh, 1,000%.
That would have been a crazy thing to say, right?
Oh, yeah. And I would have proposed that my favorite team immediately tried to give the pick number 12 and 19 to the Packers to acquire Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, that is last year's discussion of the Aaron Rodgers situation in the wake of the Jordan Love draft. And I have to be honest with you, I think we nailed it. Now, Aaron Rodgers, nobody anticipated that he would have one of the greatest years of his career, I don't think, at the age of 37. But Aaron Rodgers now is in an interesting spot because I know some people can say, well, the Packers hold all the cards here because Aaron Rodgers under contract with them. And we talked a little bit about this with Deshaun Watson. The difference is with the Jeopardy hosting, which now looks even more like a message to the Packers of, hey, I don't have to come back and play if I don't want to. Aaron Rodgers, in theory, could decide, I don't need to play anymore in the NFL. He's made plenty of money. This could be a pride-related decision for him where he went out and demonstrated that he still has several years left to play. I think he's going to force a trade to the Denver Broncos. That, to me, feels like the most likely outcome here if I were projecting going forward. You heard us mention there John Elway and Peyton Manning. The last two quarterbacks to go out on a Super Bowl on their second Super Bowl. If I am with the Broncos and I am pitching the idea of Aaron Rodgers joining our franchise, what I'm telling him is you can be the third in that trio of quarterbacks who come to Denver, get a Super Bowl, and are able to ride off into the sunset, not just with a Super Bowl, but with a second Super Bowl, which forever burnishes your legacy as a dominant force in this league. It certainly, given the amount of talent that Aaron Rodgers has, would be a fitting end to his career. But I just keep coming back around to, if you had to choose whose side are you on, the Green Bay Packers or Aaron Rodgers, last 10 years in the draft, the Packers have gone defense first 9 times. The only time that they went with an offensive player, the only time that they went with an offensive player in the last decade with with Aaron Rodgers from the age of 27 to 37 was when they made the decision to draft Aaron Rodgers' replacement with Jordan Love. And they did it again last night, which felt even more like a middle finger to Aaron Rodgers. They went and took a corner out of Georgia with their 30th overall pick, Eric Stokes, again, just confirming that legacy. The Packers know what they have in Aaron Rodgers, and they've been convinced that he's good enough that he can uplift the offense with his unique skill set and talent, such that they have decided to go grab defense every single time, with the exception of when they drafted his backup. That story deserves way more attention, and if I were Aaron Rodgers, I would completely see it as a slap in the face. When we come back, I'll ask the crew where they think Aaron Rodgers could go other than Denver, and I threw out the Hail Mary of Houston. I just don't see any major choices that would make a lot of sense for next year. It doesn't make sense to me anywhere but Denver.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Stop me if you've heard it before, but everything broke the Patriots' way. Mac Jones, they don't even have to move. They grab him at 15 when the expectation was that he was going to be gone at 3. Trey Lance, I think, to the 49ers. I love both of these guys because they have the opportunity to sit behind Cam Newton and Jimmy Garoppolo, respectively. In theory, both of those guys are going to be on the roster this year. Trevor Lawrence to the Jags. I like the addition of Travis Etienne. We've barely even talked about the idea of Tim Tebow coming out of retirement to play tight end for the Jags, but that's how interesting that team has suddenly become. Justin Fields to the Bears, I like the idea that he can sit behind Andy Dalton and start to get more comfortable. But Matt Nagy, the coach there, I just don't buy into him as the difference maker for the Chicago Bears. And then Zach Wilson, given the long-range futility, even with a brand-new coach and regime there, I'm not optimistic necessarily in how he is going to do with the Jets. Overall, so that's my ranking 1 to 5 if I had to buy stock in these quarterbacks, not based on the individual quarterback talent, but based on Mac Jones to the Patriots, Trey Lance to the 49ers, Trevor Lawrence to the Jags, Justin Fields to the Bears, and Zach Wilson to the Jets. That's the order in which I would expect them to have success. Overall draft picks, the SEC with 12 picks in the first round, the Big Ten with 7, ACC with 6, Pac-12 with 3, Big 12 with a big fat 0 first round picks. Worth mentioning, Alabama ties the Miami Hurricanes for the most first round picks ever with 6, 5 of them on the offensive side of the ball, which is pretty extraordinary. Putting this into further perspective, the 2017 Alabama recruiting class might just be the best ever. This is pretty wild to think about. 4 different first rounders in 2020, Tua, Jedrick Wills, Henry Ruggs, and Jerry Jeudy. This year, 4 different first rounders again, Devontae Smith, Mac Jones, Alex Leatherwood, and Najee Harris, and potentially some guys who could get drafted out of this class still to come next year. That is remarkable. At least 8 first-round draft picks in 1 single recruiting class. That has to be a record for the greatest ever. Speaking of the greatest ever, how many really good players were there in that Alabama-LSU game in 2019 when Joe Burrow went on the road and won in Bryant-Denny Stadium, that iconic classic game between Alabama and LSU? I was there. It was amazing to watch. We now know, at least so far, how many different first-rounders were on the field in that game. Think about this with me for a minute. Alabama, Tua, Jalen Waddle, Patrick Surtain, Jedrick Wills, Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, Mac Jones, who came on just to be a holder, Alex Leatherwood, and Najee Harris. Think about this. That Alabama offense had Tua and Mac Jones, 2 first-round quarterbacks, 4 first-round wide receivers, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, a first-round running back in Najee Harris, and 2 different tackles who were first-rounders as well, in Jedrick Wills and in Alex Leatherwood. Guys, that's more first-round draft picks than any offense in the NFL would have this upcoming year. Think about that for a minute. Only one of those players, by the way, on the defensive side of the ball, Patrick Surtain, at least so far, and there probably will be other draft picks still to come out of that game, but it does discuss the overall trajectory of college football and how talent now, at least in the SEC even, it's fun and interesting to think about the difference between the 9-6 game that Alabama won against LSU when all of the talent was on the defensive side of the ball, by and large, for both of those teams, compared to now in the 2019 game when almost all the talent was on the offensive side of the field. By the way, for LSU, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Chase on the linebacker whose name I'm going to mess up, Justin Jefferson, Patrick Queen, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 6 different first rounders on the field for LSU. 16 first rounders in that game already since 2019. That is an unprecedented amount of talent. Let me repeat that. 16 different first-rounders played in the 2019 Alabama going up against LSU story. So the big story that dropped as well that had nothing to do with what was going to happen in the draft itself, what in the world is going to end up happening with Aaron Rodgers and everyone and that drama, which is not going to end, I don't believe, anytime soon. I asked the poll question, whose side are you on in the NFL's newest stare down, Aaron Rodgers demanding a trade or the Packers refusing to trade him? In the first 20 minutes, nearly 10,000 of you have voted in this poll question. You can go get your vote in at Clay Travis. Track me down on Twitter. Place your vote right now. 62% of you are saying you are on Aaron Rodgers' side. 38% of you are on the Packers' side. All right, so that is kind of setting the table for where we are right now with everything that is going on in the day after the NFL draft. Remember, there are a ton of really good players still available with the second and the third round to come on Friday, followed by the fourth through the seventh round on Saturday. Let me bring in the crew and go around the horn and say, what team's pick did you like the most in the first round? And I'll start, and it's probably a cliche, but it's the New England Patriots. I feel like Mac Jones is a perfect fit for Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick. Even the picture with him shirtless, he looks like Brady. Not exactly a physical specimen, but smart, cerebral in the pocket, moves well with his feet. There is a good talent already there now. I like the Hunter Henry and the additions that have already been made on the free agency wish list there. I don't believe Jonnu Smith, by the way, the other tight end that the Patriots went and paid big money for. Those are underneath guys that will not create, that will be nice security safety blankets for Mac Jones, but he doesn't have to play immediately. You've got two Auburn guys in Jarrett Stidham and Cam Newton, and now you have an Alabama guy in Mac Jones. I like Mac Jones's ability to come in and slowly fit into the Patriot offense. If Mac Jones really is a revelation and looks ready to play early, then you've got Cam Newton under a one-year deal, so you haven't committed any substantial dollars to him long-term. And maybe there's a team out there that's going to need a veteran at some point in the season. If you're the Patriots, you could potentially get a value for Cam Newton by being able to trade him away. Being able to sit there at 15 and have a guy who was projected to be number three fall all the way to you. To me, the best situation in the NFL draft was what happened with the New England Patriots. Everything seems to break their way. First time ever, Bill Belichick has drafted a first-round quarterback. Prior to now, Jimmy G was his highest draft pick. Mac Jones feels like a perfect fit to me in New England. Danny G, what team's move did you like the most?
Couple quick ones for me. I really liked how the Jets moved up to guarantee that they would land Elijah Vera Tucker to protect their new franchise quarterback and Zach Wilson. You know, Sam Darnold was watching that, cursing at his TV screen. The Jets had one of the worst O-lines in all of football last season, so that was smart to do that. And then I really like what the Cowboys did. They moved back because the corner that they really wanted wasn't there anymore. They instead went with who I think might be the best defensive player when we look back at this draft in a couple of years, Micah Parsons. And what a celebration as he jumped into Roger Goodell's arms.
Yeah, look, I think that was a good move for the Cowboys. They still have major, major issues at corner. And they're just going to have to basically decide, hopefully Dak is back healthy with CeeDee Lamb, with Michael Gallup, and with Amari Cooper. They're just going to have to hope that they outscore everybody, not to mention Ezekiel Elliott. But they had a desperate need at corner, and they didn't fill it. And if I'm a Cowboy fan, that makes me a little bit nervous. Dub, what say you?
I think it's Jalen Waddle going to Miami.
Yeah.
Because he's reuniting with Tua, and also they're giving Tua the weapons that he would need in theory. And this is going to be a big year because we've mentioned it many times on this show. I mean, he was average at the very best last year in his rookie season. Granted, he had the hip injury, so he's got to be – You got to think he's healthier this year. They're surrounding him with guys that can catch and run after the catch. I know better than anybody watching Jalen Waddle in the Iron Bowl absolutely just toast Auburn many times. So that was my favorite play with the Dolphins picking up what I think is a star receiver.
Ceiling-wise, Jalen Waddle could be Tyreek Hill. And we know how much difference that makes for Tyreek Hill does for Travis Kelce. If I'm Mike Gesicki, the tight end at Miami, who has made decent amount of plays, has looked good out of Penn State, been there a couple of years, two, 3 years, I'm thinking to myself, oh, wow, we've got a guy who can take the top off the defense now. He's going to open up the underneath of the field in a big way. Best case scenario for the Miami Dolphins, you have got a budding ability to develop a big-time athletic tight end with that over-the-top threat in Jalen Waddle, who could hopefully be the Tyreek Hill version of the AFC East for the Dolphins and for Tua, in him hopefully taking that next step in year two in the Dolphin offense. What about you, Eddie? Was there a pick that you saw and you thought this is a great one? This is a perfect fit.
Well, I love the Jalen Waddle pick because that's what I predicted on the show, and it made me look smart. And I mean, Mac Jones, I mean, the Patriots got their quarterback. They didn't have to move up to get him.
Yeah, I know.
But, I mean, if I'm going to pick one, and you can call me biased, and I know it wasn't a surprise, but Najee Harris to the Steelers.
I
absolutely loved it. I mean, everyone said it was going to happen. It made too much sense. The Steelers running game last year wasn't bad. It was atrocious. It was horrifically awful, and this guy is an absolute stud. Now, I know they need to shore up their offensive line to give him some holes to run through, but I think this guy's going to be amazing.
To me, Le'Veon Bell was the best running back that we've seen paired with Ben Roethlisberger. I've watched a lot of Le'Veon Bell over the years, and I've watched a lot of Najee Harris. I think Najee Harris can be as good or better than Le'Veon Bell was in that Pittsburgh Steelers offense. Now, they still have issues on the offensive line, but Najee Harris is great out of the backfield. He runs with power, but also with purpose in the same way that Le'Veon Bell does. In other words, Le'Veon Bell didn't get ahead of his blocking and didn't rush plays. He allowed them to develop. It was incredibly patient as a running back. And I can see the same sort of traits in Najee Harris. I think he's going to be a tremendous asset to the Steeler offense, and I agree with you, Danny G, that he's a great fit. What about you, Roberto? Who stands out to you? What pick stands out to you?
I like what the Bears did, moving up to get Justin Fields, because they were going with the red rifle, Andy Dalton there. So I like, even though I agree with you, I don't believe in Matt Nagy. He's supposed to be an offensive guy who gave up play calling duties. But I like what the Bears did to get Justin Fields there.
The other thing I would say as you kind of unpack everything is, and we'll talk a bit about this when we come back, but there are a lot of risks that were taken. Maybe the riskiest high-risk, high-reward move might be by the Titans. We'll talk a little bit about that, but I want to talk with the crew about risky moves that could have big payoffs. But first, I want to go over our draft outcome. A little bit of a controversy because we ended up getting two different players to the right teams, but then there were trades.
Yeah.
And so, like, the easy example is Devontae Smith went to the Eagles, but the Eagles had to trade up to get him potentially. I loved the idea of Devontae Smith to the Eagles. I don't think we can count those because we could end up in the years ahead as we do the Outkick mock draft where we get the benefit of a trade happening and the guy going in the spot. But even without being able to count those, if we counted those, we had two different teams that drafted the right guy, but just in the wrong spot, right? Am I correct in that, Danny?
Correct, because the Jets moved up and got Vera Tucker, who a listener chose for the Jets.
Yep.
But isn't it more important that the team matches the player rather than the number in the draft?
That's an excellent question. I feel like typically the way that you grade whether you get a draft pick right is based on the spot, not based on the team. So we got 8 spots right. We got 10 teams right.
Correct.
If that makes sense to people out there. And so I think that's a intriguing dilemma. What do you guys think? Dub, what do you think? Is it spot or team?
I've been going back and forth on this, for the last couple hours. It's tough because we don't allow trades in the mock draft, right? So
that's correct.
I feel like in the process of the mock draft, the team is essentially the most important aspect.
Yeah, but sorry to cut you off, but when we have, like, for instance, Devontae Smith, this is a need for the Eagles, and if we're giving credit to the caller, we're asking them to fit a need, and we're saying, hey, we have the right. Like, who was the guy that somebody tried to draft that we just said, hey, that's not going to happen? I think it was at 16, and then we ended up hitting.
Was it Wyatt Davis?
Wyatt Davis. I think that was right. And we said, no, that's not going to happen. And basically just, I think that was the only pick that we crossed out in the entirety of the draft. So that, I mean, sorry to cut you off, Dub, but it is interesting because you're like, hey, Devontae Smith, we need a move to be made. And so what's your final verdict on that?
I think I'm kind of leaning more towards the team being the most important aspect because, like you just mentioned, we're drafting for the Eagles. All right, the Eagles need a wide receiver. They draft DeVonta Smith, who we predicted. It just was two spots ahead of where they were originally slotted.
Yeah, it's a good point. What about you, Eddie? How would you assess spot or team?
Whatever makes us look better.
Yeah,
that's, I agree.
It's a good answer.
Yeah.
Either way, it's a new record because even without those two teams, we still would have eight correct, which, you know, beat the record of seven.
All right, as we're getting ready to go to break, hit me on Twitter, at Clay Travis, spot or team. Which one should count for purposes of our mock draft tally? Either we got 10 right, in which case we got 10 different teams correct. Because, again, Dub is making a good point that we specifically say you can't make a trade. So it's not like you can switch where you're allowed to pick. Or the number of the number that is the exact same, right? So we got eight that went in the exact number spot where we had projected. 10 went to the team that we had projected. And by the way, 10 is as good or better, I think, than the vast majority of people out there who do mock drafts for a living. So I'll check Twitter during this commercial break, and we will decide which verdict we will embrace.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Poll question that is up for today, and it is a good one. It is, whose side are you on in the massive battle that has erupted out of Green Bay? Are you on Aaron Rodgers' side demanding a trade, or the Packers refusing to trade him? Over 12,000 of you have voted in the first hour of this poll. 61% on Aaron Rodgers' side, 39% on the Packers refusing to trade him, which is where we are right now with a stalemate that could end up involving, believe it or not, the hosting of Jeopardy. All of this just absolutely crazy to see how exactly it will be shaking down. So, to me, this is the most lasting story that is looming as we head into the weekend. We talked about this for about a month before the Deshaun Watson story turned into not will or won't the Houston Texans trade Deshaun Watson, but how will he even be able to play in 2021? Well, now we have a new version of the same issue. And to me, I'm on Aaron Rodgers' side. And I'm on Aaron Rodgers' side because he's 37 years old. And in the last decade, in his prime as a quarterback in the NFL, the Packers have drafted one offensive player in the past 10 years with their first pick. Who was that offensive player? Jordan Love, a quarterback drafted to replace Aaron Rodgers that did nothing to help the team last year and is unlikely to do anything to help the team this year. I think Aaron Rodgers has been looking at Tom Brady, saw what Brady was able to do leaving New England, and I think ultimately there is going to be a deal worked out between Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers, and the Denver Broncos, and that your quarterback in week one for the Denver Broncos is going to be Aaron Rodgers, and that we might see the Jordan Love era begin in earnest potentially by week one. Now, I think Aaron Rodgers is willing to sit out and go host Jeopardy for a year and put the onus on the Packers to basically just let him retire. I don't think he feels any great, you know, compulsion to play. And I think Aaron Rodgers holds all of the cards in on his side. I'm curious to see how this is going to shake out. I talked about the Denver Broncos making the most sense. Does anybody else have a team that they believe could make a real run at Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I mean, we talked about it earlier, and you shot down.
You tried to argue the Raiders.
You made sense with your argument against Derek Carr, but I guess if I'm Gruden and Mayock and I really want to compete with Mahomes and Herbert, then I'm going to go to the Packers and say, look, I'm going to give you three number ones and any other player you want on my team except Darren Waller.
Yeah, I mean, if I were the Packers, what I would do is go hat in hand to Aaron Rodgers and say, we blew it. We made a mistake. We misidentified how many years you had left as a starting quarterback at an elite level. You know, you went through this with us before with Brett Favre. That's hard to do, to decide when it makes sense to turn the page. We were wrong. We are going to trade Jordan Love at an unbelievable sales price to somebody out there. I think you have to give him up. Maybe you get a third rounder for Jordan Love. Who knows how good he might be. And then you sign Aaron Rodgers to a long-term extension, the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
And then how about this? You trade for Julio Jones as, you know, a bonus for him. Like, we're going to add a target for you.
Yeah, that would be an interesting move. I'm not sure, honestly, that they necessarily need a target. And I'm not sure how the salary cap situation would work with Julio making $15 million a year or whatever it is at 32 years old. But I do think the only play the Green Bay Packers are left with right now, because make no mistake, Aaron Rodgers and his team leaked all of this information out there on the day of the draft to put as much pressure as possible on the Green Bay Packers. But I think the only solution they have if they want to keep Aaron Rodgers is hat in hand, we screwed up, we're sorry, we are trading Jordan Love. Maybe you could trade him down to Atlanta. To your point, Danny G., maybe you could get Julio Jones, trade Jordan Love in some way for a valuable asset to come back for Aaron Rodgers, and you offer to sign Aaron Rodgers to a multi-year extension, making him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I'm not sure that would work, but we're in a crazy stare down otherwise that I don't think is going to be resolved in the very near future. But if it is ultimately resolved via a trade, which is what Aaron Rodgers is demanding, I think the Denver Broncos, of anyone in the NFL, are in the absolute best spot.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.